Blood's Guards, a Discworld novel from the pen of Terry Pratchett, rendered into dramatic form by Michael Butt, with Martin Jarvis as the narrator, John Wood as Captain Vimes, Melvin Hayes as Nobby, Stephen Thorne as Sergeant Colon, and Death as himself. Episode 2.
Well.
Never mind, Captain. It could have been worse.
Yes. It could have been us.
At every disaster, a politician. In this case, Lord Vetinari, ruler of Ankh-Morpork. You need a special kind of mind to rule a city like Ankh-Morpork, and Lord Vetinari had it. It was said that he would tolerate absolutely anything except things that threatened the city, and mime artists. A strange aversion, but there it is. It was said that anyone in baggy trousers and a white face who tried to ply their art anywhere within the city walls would very quickly find themselves in a scorpion pit, on one wall of which was painted the advice, "Learn the words." With one long, thin, blue-veined hand, he reached out and traced the shadows on the wall. Well, not so much shadows, more silhouettes showing three men frozen in an attitude of surprise. Various upraised hands had quite clearly been holding knives and cutlasses, all fused now into a rather nice ceramic finish.
You are Captain?
Vimes, sir. Night watch.
I thought I'd come and inspect the damage myself. And what are we looking at here?
Ash, sir. To be more precise, the remains of three men. The villains, all of them.
They didn't amount to very much, did they?
No, sir. I believe they were intending to attack us, sir, when...
Was it you, then, did this?
No, sir.
Because I was going to say vaporizing suspected criminals could hardly be classed as using minimum force.
No, sir. Oh, I see, sir. No, sir.
And these marks, streaks, what would you call them, on the wall here, are they metallic?
It seems the men were carrying weapons, sir, and had raised them when...
Yes?
The heat melted them, sir.
Well. Carry on.
If you look here, sir, these are what I call Exhibit A.
And what am I looking at, exactly?
Footprints, sir. Or claw prints. Or, one might go so far as to say, talon prints.
I see. And do you have an opinion about all this, Captain?
Well, sir, I know that dragons have been extinct for thousands of years, sir.
Yes?
But, sir, the thing is, do they know?
So you think an extinct and indeed a possibly entirely mythical animal flew into the city, landed in this narrow alley, incinerated a group of criminals, and then flew away. Is that what you're telling me? No. In my opinion, it's some kind of gang warfare. Possibly someone hired a wizard.
But these footprints, sir?
We're close to the river. Probably a wading bird of some kind.
But with respect, sir...
Captain, I am supreme ruler of Ankh-Morpork.
Yes, sir.
It is not a beautiful city or a renowned city, and certainly not an architecturally favored city. It has spun along cheerfully like a gyroscope on the lip of a catastrophe curve, but it has worked. And now, this. Tell some of your men to get their shovels and cover those footprints over.
But...
Yes?
As you wish, sir.
Good man. Good man.
Sir...
Thank God he's gone.
What are you doing, Colon?
Well, Lord Vetinari said we had to cover up these prints, sir.
Well, stop it. I want you to go back to headquarters and get some plaster.
Plaster?
Wading birds be bollocksed. He was worried, didn't you notice? I'm going to make casts of those prints.
Right, sir.
Three questions, Sergeant. How did the dragon get here? And where is he now?
Well, that's two questions, sir.
Here, what's this?
Well, it's a peanut shell.
At the library of the Unseen University, the librarian knuckled his way urgently along the dark aisles between the slumbering bookshelves. Right now, he was looking for a book. Whilst in the sanctuary of the oblong office, Lord Vetinari had a stream of instructions to give.
Once. Once?
You called...
Oh! I wish you wouldn't shimmer up on people like that once.
Sorry, sir.
I have a question for you. Do you believe in dragons?
No, sir. They're legends. Mere superstitions for the common people.
Quite. Still, dragons, even legendary ones, are the kind of thing that make people restless. I was speaking to Captain Vimes.
Vimes? Is the watch becoming a problem, sir?
The watch? Good God, no. I want a wall painted.
Palace decorations?
No. In the shades.
Is that wise? Wouldn't that arouse comment?
Quite right. Send some men and demolish it.
It was a section of the library no one bothered with much nowadays. The books in there were not really magical. Dust lay accusingly on the floor. Dust with footprints in it.
Whoop!
The librarian realized with a sense of inevitability that these footprints seemed to have the same destination in mind as he did. He turned a corner and there it was. The section, the bookcase, the shelf. The gap. Someone had stolen a book.
Men, when I asked you to report for duty this evening in plain clothes, I wonder if I explained the word plain plainly enough.
This is what I wear outside work, Gov.
Not me. Don't your clothes cause old women to fall down?
No. This is dude.
The ruffs, the slash doublet, the gold frogging?
All of it.
The flared pantaloons?
Yes, sir.
The ornamental spurs?
I'm fashion conscious.
But most fashion conscious people, Nobby, have more body than you do. The best that can be said about you is that you are in there somewhere.
Yes, sir.
Maybe there are advantages in your appearance. There's a double bluff. No one looking at you is going to say, here's a member of the watch trying to look inconspicuous. Anyway, what I want you to do, Nobby...
Yes, sir?
Sergeant.
Sir?
...is to mingle as unobtrusively as possible tonight to see if you can detect anything unusual.
Unusual like what?
Anything pertinent.
Pertinent, right, sir.
Unexplained fires, large footprints, anything that might be a sign of a dragon.
Virgins chained to rocks.
Nothing prurient, Nobby.
Virgins aren't prurient, sir. It's all in the eye of the beholder.
Quite.
This mingling, sir, would it involve going into taverns and drinking? Oh,
to a certain extent.
Oh.
In moderation.
Right you are, sir.
And at your own expense.
Oh.
And I need to talk to somebody who knows about dragons.
Wizards would.
Apart from wizards, you can't trust them.
There's always Lady Ramkin, lives in Schoon Avenue, breeds swamp dragons. You know, those little buggers people keep as pets.
Oh, yes, I've seen her four-wheel drive carriage with a sticker in the back, Winnie, if you love dragons.
She's mental.
Well, I'll have to try her at any rate.
What do you want me to do, sir?
You've got the most important job of all, Carrot. I want you to stay here and watch the office.
You mean I'm in charge, sir?
In a manner of speaking. But you're not allowed to arrest anyone, do you understand?
Not even if they're breaking the law, sir.
Especially then. Just make a note of it.
I read my book, shall I? And polish my armour.
Good boy.
I'd better go and get my notebook.
Well... He's in for an easy night, then?
Yeah, lucky devil.
I mean, no one ever comes to the watch.
Who come here?
Not even to report a missing dog.
I wouldn't come here to report a missing hamster.
I mean, you'd have to be really helpless to need the watch.
Thank you, Sergeant. Corporal, I think we get the idea.
That will do.
Schoon Avenue was a wide, tree-lined and incredibly select part of Ankh-Morpork, high enough above the river to be away from its all-pervading smell. Lady Ramkin's house was not hard to find. It commanded an outcrop that gave it a magnificent view of the city, if that was your idea of a good time. There were stone dragons on the gateposts.
Hello? Hello?
Oh, my God!
Lady Ramkin, hello? Hello, Lady Ramkin?
Oh, my good man, do you know anything about mating?
Dear father, tonight Captain Vimes has put me in sole charge of the watch house. This is, of course, a very great responsibility. Who's that? Anybody there?
Ooh. Oh, hello. Didn't see you there.
Ooh, ooh.
What? What is it?
Ooh.
You want me to come with you?
I can't.
I've got to stay here. I've had orders. Has someone committed a crime?
Ooh.
A bad crime?
Ooh.
Like murder? Worse than murder?
Crikey, right. I'm coming with you.
Wait a minute. I'd better leave a note. Out fighting crime. Please call again. Let's go.
The elucidated brethren were nervous. A kind of fear crackled from brother to brother. It was the fear of someone who, having experimented with gunpowder, had found that it led to a very loud bang and that pretty soon someone was bound to come out and see what all the noise was about. It was Brother Fingers who gave their fears voice.
There's no chances there of us sort of accidentally summoning the dragon here, is it?
Here?
Yeah.
Here?
Here.
No. Any more questions? Good. There now remains the matter of the king. Brother Doorkeeper will explain to you.
Have we found him, then? That's a stroke of luck.
No, we don't go around finding anyone. We make a king.
Oh, yeah? I thought he was supposed to turn up. Destiny or something, wasn't it?
We're giving destiny a shove, all right, Brother Fingers? So we name someone king, yeah? He comes back, kills a dragon and bobs your auntie. Then we take over.
I've got two questions.
Have you, Brother Fingers?
First, where do we get a king from? Advertise? Wanted young man of royal descent? Good package for right candidate?
No. At this very moment, a cousin of mine is confined, shall we say, in a small house in the country where he has been supplied with drink and feminine consolations, awaiting my orders. He'll fit the bill, believe me. He'll step in, and the people will take him to their sentimental hearts, I have no doubt, especially when they have just witnessed him slay a giant dragon.
That leads on to my second question.
Which we are breathless to hear.
What makes you so sure that the dragon will so conveniently disappear when this geezer, your king, waves his sword?
How? We summoned him, didn't we? I am his master, aren't I? By tomorrow morning, people will be so desperate with fear they'll be willing to crown a one-legged troll if he gets rid of the dragon. And we'll have a king. And the king will have an advisor. And there'll be no more summoning of dragons.
Come in, come in. It's Lord Mountjoy Gayscale Talonthrust III of Ankh.
Oh, is his lordship ill?
I'm afraid he can't cut the mustard. It needs two of you.
Does it?
Oh, yes. Could you oblige?
I'm on duty, madam.
Well, someone has to hold his legs, lift him up in the air. It's me who's got the tricky part.
Eh?
Well, you've got to understand, it's a very grave situation.
Yes, I'm sure, but I'll have to decline nonetheless, my lady.
If he doesn't manage it tonight, he's for the chop.
Now, hold on a minute.
Oh, survival of the fittest, you know.
Madam, I am an officer of the watch, and I must warn you that the course of action you are proposing breaks the laws of the city, and I must advise you that unless you release his lordship immediately and unharmed...
What? Release him? Why should I? He's my bloody dragon.
Oh, your dragon.
What did you think I was talking about?
Well, your husband... Never mind.
I breed dragons. Oh, this little chap here, for example.
Ah, looks very attractive there on your shoulder.
Nonsense. I'm just training him up because shoulder sitters fetch twice the price. Oh, it sounds nice to have a nice cuddly little dragon on your shoulder. Then they realise a dragon isn't just for Christmas. It's for life. Now then, Captain. Such a dashing title, I always think. What was it you had to show me? Take no notice of him. Poor soppy old thing. He likes his belly rubbed. Hit him with a cushion if he's a nuisance. You were saying?
I wanted to know how big swamp dragons grow.
Well, the largest I've had was Gayheart Talonthrust of Ankh, who stood, let me think, toe to matlock, 14 thumbs high. That's 3 foot 6 inches. And he was a bit of a freak.
No bigger than that.
Well, mostly they don't get much bigger than 8 thumbs.
2 feet?
Well done. Are you interested in dragons, Captain?
Well.
Wonderful. Can I get you some tea?
Yeah. Have another drink. Not Corporal Nobby.
I don't mind if I do. Not Sergeant Colon.
Nice here, isn't it?
Very nice.
Drinks are an arm and a leg, though, ain't they?
Yeah, well, we're not known here, though, see? So we can mingle incognito.
Some cocky bastard just asked me if we was the cabaret. I think he was being funny, but it made me think.
What?
If we bought a bottle or two, we could go to my house and then we'd be really inconspicuous.
But Captain Vimes said we have to keep our ears open.
Well, we could do that at my house, all right. In fact, we could do it better there. All night long if we wanted to.
Yeah, not a bad idea. But first, I'll just go and point Percy at the porcelain.
Yeah, I need a leak too. This detector in business don't half cause wear and tear on your bladder. I think the car's is out back. Beautiful night, Nobby.
Oh, but dark.
As you say, have you detected the door of the privy yet?
Get out of it. Oh,
it's all right. It's gone. Oh, well, Nobby, old son. Needs must. We'll have to slip him out here. Well, I don't really regret it. Ever since childhood, I've loved an al fresco piddle with a zephyr playing gently round the privates. Oh, such peace, Nobby. Do we deserve it?
Oh, yes. Of course we do.
Very interesting.
Oh, that's the standard work on dragons. A little out of date now, probably. Borrow it if you like. But there's no substitute for meeting dragons face to face. Oh, come on, the pens are through here. The smell takes a bit of getting used to. And you may find it a little warm. Let me introduce you. That's Moonpenny Duchess March Payne, who's gravid at the moment. Say hello to her.
Lady Ramkin, would you mind looking at something?
What is it?
It's a plaster cast of a footprint. Now, what kind of animal made that print, would you say?
Oh, that's easy.
Yes?
It's a wading bird.
Come, dragon, come. Your master summons you. Come. Come.
Oh.
Yes, either a wading bird or a really big dragon. But they're extinct, of course. Where did you get it? Out of a museum?
No, it was taken from a print I found on the street this morning.
Well, then someone's playing tricks on you, old chap. This is Draco Nobilis, the noble dragon. Weighed tons and yet could fly. All gone now, of course.
Lady Ramkin?
What?
Is there something wrong with your dragon?
Quick, man, outside!
Sergeant?
What?
What kind of bird is that?
What bird?
Over there.
Well, it's not a bird, Nobby, it's a dragon.
Oh. Did you say dragon?
Did I?
You did.
Nah, don't be stupid.
There's a dragon on the roof, Sarge. Look.
Where?
There's a dragon on the roof, Nobby.
I know.
Nobby, it's looking at me. What shall I do?
Well, I should button your trousers up for a start.
This is the university library, isn't it?
Ooh.
Oh, I've never been here before. What a lot of books.
Ooh.
Now then, is there a dead body or something?
Ooh.
Well?
Ooh, ooh.
A book is missing? So? Is that all?
Ooh.
You summoned the watch because someone has stolen a book. That's practically a crime. Wasting watch time. All right. Well, what's the book called? Four words. First word. Small word. A. The. Oh, right. First word, the. Second word. Three syllables. First syllable. Sounds like fingers. Adding up. Some. Second syllable. Small. A. In. On. On. Someone. Someone. Longer. Extended. Summoner. Summoning. The summoning. Third word. Small word. In. The. From. Of. Of. So, we've got the summoning of something. Right. Fourth word. This is fun. This is fun. Whole word. We're going to do the whole word. Right. Big thing. Yes. Huge big thing. Flapping. Great big flapping. Wings. Leaping thing. Teeth. Hugging. Blowing. Great big huge winged thing. Blowing. Flapping. Burning! Great, big, hot, blowing, wing, flapping thing! Burning!
Isn't it beautiful?
It's a bloody great lizard.
It oughtn't to be able to do that.
But it must weigh tons. Nothing that big can fly. Not on those wings. And what's a lizard got wings for then, eh?
Collie, look! It's using the fans. That's what the fire's for. Do you realize we're probably watching something that no one has seen for centuries?
Yes, a bloody great alligator setting fire to my city.
Oh, there must be a breeding colony somewhere. Where do you think it lives?
Well, how far can they fly?
Well, actually, they're very territorial, so not very far is the answer.
Thank you, my lady. You've been very helpful. Sergeant Colon, Nobby, Carrot,
Hello, sir.
I take it you saw it, Carrot.
Yes, sir, and I know where it came from. Someone summoned it.
Summoned it?
With a book called The Summoning of Dragons.
What's it about? Oh, good afternoon, sir.
It's about how to summon dragons by magic. And that's illegal.
Did you see it?
Yes, Nobby, we saw it.
We were just having a leak.
In the line of duty, sir.
Yes.
I looked up.
Everyone has seen it, and now we've got to find it.
Ooh. I wonder, sir, whether we could just have a quick drink first.
What?
Well, just to steady our nerves.
No drinks, gentlemen. We have a job to do.
Once.
Yes, my lord.
Oh. Has Captain Vimes arrived yet?
I believe not.
As soon as he arrives, send him in. By the way, what's the going rate for killing a dragon?
Would that be a large dragon, my lord?
Yes, I think it's an averagely large dragon.
Probably then that would cost about half your kingdom.
What?
And your daughter's hand in marriage, sir.
I don't have a daughter.
Then your sister, perhaps. Or an aunt. Or I believe dragons can be bribed with gold.
Gold? What do they spit? Oh, never mind. Send Vimes in as soon as he gets here. Do you understand?
Yes, sir.
The streets of Ankh-Morpork were thronged. There was a manic air of carnival. Vimes ran an eye over the assortment before him. It was the usual crowd that gathered in times of crisis. Half of them were here to complain, a quarter of them were here to watch the other half, and the remainder were here to rob, importune, or sell hot dogs to the rest.
News spreads fast, don't it? Morning, Captain.
Morning, Throat. What are you selling?
I'm not selling anything.
Oh?
What I've got here is an invitation for you and your loved ones to have a share in a revolutionary new product, which I am testing in the neighborhood.
Oh, let's hear it.
Anti-dragon cream.
My God.
Genuine article. Personal guarantee. If it doesn't work to your satisfaction, your money is returned without quibble.
You mean if I'm baked alive by the dragon, you'll give me my money back?
Upon personal application. Made from over 50 different rare spices and herbs to a recipe known only to a bunch of monks what live on a mountain. $1 a jar, and
you're cutting your own throat, yes?
I'm doing a public service.
Oh, yeah. I wanted to do a bit of paint stripping anyway. Well? Who are the big guys over there?
Dragon hunters. Lord Vetinari has announced a reward of $50,000 to anyone who brings in the dragon's head. on the thatch to the dragon's body, of course.
$50,000? Why aren't you grabbing a sword, then?
You know me. I'm more in the service sector. What about yourself, Captain? I expect you could do with the reward, couldn't you? What do they pay you at the moment?
None of your business.
Only a thought.
Thank you, throat.
The setting sun spread out on the horizon like a lightly poached egg. Vimes felt curiously elated. He was detecting things. He didn't have the whole jigsaw yet, but all he needed was to find a corner piece or a bit of an edge. The city waited. A few stars came out. From their position on the roof of the watch house, the men of the watch waited too, their nerves stretched to breaking point, their muscles tensed, like tigers.
Bugger this for luck. It's not coming.
The captain said wait, keep your eyes open.
It's been scared off. What are we doing up here?
The roof of the watch house offers a vantage point over the whole city.
I'm freezing. And where's the captain then?
He's detecting, he'll be here.
I brought this with me.
What's that?
My granddad's crossbow. Put a bolt through a 6-inch door 100 yards, this could. So I reckon it could do a bit of mischief to a dragon. Now then.
The captain's coming, Nobby. Nobby, put that damn thing down.
Sir.
Put it away. I'm not having my guards shooting citizens.
Quite right. We're here to serve and protect, aren't we, Captain?
Yeah. Yes, that's right.
Sir?
Yes?
How long are we actually going to stay up here, sir?
It could be coming on to rain, sir.
I see.
What is it we're waiting for?
Something impossible.
What?
We're waiting for something impossible not to happen. All right. Sergeant, can you see anything odd about the top of that tower over there?
Oh, looks like a dragon, sir.
That's what I thought.
But not really. I mean, look properly. It's all that ivy and stuff. I mean, if you half-close one eye, it looks like two old women in a wheelbarrow.
No, still looks like a dragon to me. Sort of hunched up and looking down. And look, you can see its wings all folded up, can't you?
Beg your pardon, sir. That's just the effect of a broken turret.
Tell me, Sergeant, and I ask this purely in a spirit of inquiry, what do you think is causing the effect of a huge pair of wings unfurling? Sergeant?
I think that's caused by a huge pair of wings unfurling.
That's what I thought, Sergeant.
Sodding arsehole!
Get down! Where's Kulongong?
Down here, sir. Hold it off with this drying point, sir.
It hasn't even flapped its wings yet. Look at it go!
It's coming in a circle. It's coming back. It's coming this way.
What do you think it's going to do, sir? Sir!
My God.
It's coming over. He's coming for us!
Get down! Get down! Get off the roof! Get off the roof!
Narrator, Martin Jarvis. Captain Vimes, John Wood. Corporal Nobby Nobbs, Melvin Hayes. Sergeant Colon, Stephen Thorne. Carrot, Robert Gwilym. Lady Ramkin, Helen Atkinson Wood. Lord Vetinari, Crawford Logan. Supreme Grand Master, Brett Usher. Brother Doorkeeper, Jeff Nuttall. Brother Fingers, Michael Roberts. Other parts, members of the cast. Guards, Guards by Terry Pratchett was dramatized for radio by Michael Butt and directed by John Taylor.